boy, this is really going to help teachers do their jobs. You know, we have massive burnout in education. We have a tough job. And so I really wanted to look at it as, you know, this can lift the load. This is really going to elevate us as teachers. And so that was sort of the charge that I took up.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. I am so excited you're here. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I started the Easy EdTech Podcast in 2019 to share my favorite tips, tricks, and strategies for technology integration. With over 200 episodes to choose from, including new ones each week, you'll hear stories from my time in the classroom, the work I do now with schools and districts, and updates on my travels to different EdTech events. Each episode is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. Don't forget to look for the link to the show notes in the description of this episode. You'll find that link right below the episode summary in every podcast app. This week's episode is sponsored by my Quick Reference Guides. These Quick Reference Guides, or QRGs, give you an overview of big topics and plenty of resource suggestions on a variety of topics. Search for Monica Burns, that's me, on Amazon to find my Quick Reference Guides on AI chatbots, one on classroom technology tips, and another co-written with Pam Allen on digital reading strategies. Or head to classtechtips.com/books for more information. Today's episode is titled ChatGPT Plugins Teachers Should Know About with Mary Howard. And we talk all about ChatGPT and how to use plugins to take your work with this tool to the next level. Now, I've spent a lot of time this year talking about AI and chatbots like ChatGPT. When this episode goes live, I'm just double checking the dates now as we speak. I'll have returned from an event in Texas talking all about this. It'll be just the weekend before I think the episode goes live. And it's something that has come up so much in conversations with educators this year. So when I saw Mary's blog post for Tech and Learning about ChatGPT plugins, I reached out to see if she could join us today to share some tips and strategies for AI, ChatGPT, and the plugins within this tool. An important note for today's conversation, as of recording this episode, you need to have ChatGPT Plus, the paid version of ChatGPT, in order to access the plugins we talk about. I normally like to share free tools and free ways to use chatbots, and I've got oodles of resources here on the blog, classtechtips.com, to support that. But I do know this is a high interest topic, and you might either already have the plus version or the paid version of ChatGPT, or you might simply be curious about the differences between the two versions, and this might add to your own research and investigation on whether or not it makes sense to use the paid version of this tool. So let's dive into the conversation with Mary so you can gather some tips and ideas for making the most of chat plugins, in this popular chatbot, ChatGPT. Welcome to the podcast today, Mary. I am so excited to chat with you about a popular topic, ChatGPT. But before we dive in, I would love for listeners to hear a little bit about your role in education. What does your day-to-day look like?
Well, I'm a sixth grade teacher, so I guess my day-to-day is kind of weird because sixth graders are weirdos, but no. I teach science and I teach ELA. And it's just your typical day-to-day in middle school, but you never quite know what to expect, that's for sure.
And I think that's probably the best way to sum it up. I taught fifth grade for almost 7 years, and it was that same sort of, right, on the edge of middle school, at least for me, right? You're all in there, but lots of ups and downs, lots of things over the course of the day. And especially now, as we talk about some of the rapid changes, right, in education, I know it's on the minds of so many educators and so many classroom teachers. So, you know, when I saw your article around ChatGPT plugins, I reached out so that we could chat about it, and so appreciate you jumping in today. You know, so for someone who hasn't used ChatGPT plugins before,
They may be familiar with ChatGPT, but can you explain what ChatGPT plugins actually are and how they could benefit educators?
So when I think about ChatGPT plugins, I like to think of it as, for those familiar with ChatGPT itself, we know that it hasn't been able to access current information on the internet. It was sort of cut off from the internet when it was launched and released. And so if you leverage a plugin, you're basically giving ChatGPT a portal to a specific website or a specific resource that is live on the internet. So I look at it as a way to elevate ChatGPT. Some people look at it as though it's an extension, sort of like the Google extensions, but it's, I guess, ChatGPT's version of that.
I love that comparison because, you know, I would imagine listeners, whether they are conscious of it or not, right, are probably using some Chrome extensions throughout their day, right, or some plugins to different tools. So this idea of connecting a plugin to ChatGPT to access this more timely information, you know, is really that next level, you know, for folks who are exploring chatbots. So what are some specific plugins that you find most helpful for educational purposes?
Well, you know, there are, you know, 219 pages of plugins on ChatGPT. It's a lot. It's just like we said with the Google extensions. And so, you know, I started playing around with them, trying to look at it through the lens of a science teacher and an ELA teacher and, you know, what's there that I, as an educator, can use. And really the one that rose to the surface first for me was the Wolfram Alpha plugin. It's, you know, ChatGPT at times is notorious as a language learning model to get things wrong, you know, or to parse together words. And you're like, that's not exactly right. And so with that first plugin, the Wolfram Alpha, I found that I was able to get really great problem solving and math problems demonstrated through ChatGPT. I was able to get graphs and current data, whether it was weather mapping or charting or plotting. And again, it's pulling from Wolfram Alpha, which is well known for being a great resource for science and math teachers. So that one was the first one that really caught my attention.
And, you know, one of the reasons I'm so glad you mentioned that is because it addresses a really specific pain point or pushback, right, around using this technology, you know, that you want to make sure you have accurate information. And if you can search through the lens, right, of one of these plugins, it's going to, you know, really change the experience. And, you know, there are hundreds of these to choose.
Yeah.
I get a few newsletters and I saw one recently that was like a word cloud plugin. I'm like, oh my gosh, right? Like that's something I talk about and use all the time. You know, so that's a fantastic one. Is there another that you think might resonate with an educator audience?
Yes. You know, I was drawn to the speech key option because I work with a lot of special education students. Mm-hmm. So that idea that we could use, you know, some of the text to speech features and have a natural language speaker, you know, access to that we could put into maybe our digital notebooks or things like that. And so I really liked the speech key one. And I got excited when I saw the Canva plugin because that is a relatively new one that has shown up on ChatGPT. And it's okay. You know, if you're familiar with Canva, we just jump right into Canva. We already know what we're doing. We don't really need to leverage it there. I think the other one I'd like to mention is VoxScript, which is a really neat one. The VoxScript is doing things that's similar to QuestionWell, and which is an AI app by itself, not within ChatGPT. But teachers need to leverage ChatGPT to support them in their teacher life. So VoxScript allows us to bring in YouTube videos and have them analyzed and have the text drawn from them, helps us generate questions for whether it's our worksheet or our lessons. So I found that one to be a really helpful one for teachers.
Yeah, great ones to add to the list. And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned the Canva plugin because I had a similar experience when I tried that out. I was like, okay, now what? Right? Like some of these plugins are very simple, right? And you might feel better, right? Just jumping into the original tool that might check the box for you while others are much more robust. So I think it's a great reminder that these are evolving spaces too, you know, for educators to watch and kind of see what changes, you know, over the next few weeks, the next few months, right, into the next, you know, calendar year. So I'm curious, Mary, you know, how do you think this AI-driven technology that we've all spent so much time talking about this year, technologies like ChatGPT, can change the field of education and maybe even the way we think about the future of teaching and learning?
I really like to look at it through two lenses. You know, I think you and I both, when ChatGPT first came out, we, as you know, people who are drinking from the EdTech Kool-Aid, we were excited. We're like, yes, you know, this is great. But not everybody felt that way. You know, many people were scared. You know, they were frightened in how it's going to impact education. And, you know, we're going to have to fight this. And how can we block it? And how can we ignore it? How, you know, make go away. But the reality is, in teaching, the two sides of this are, okay, how is it going to impact students and how we teach students and what we're doing? And the other side of it, which is kind of the side that I took up, was, boy, this is really going to help teachers do their jobs. You know, we have massive burnout in education. We have a tough job. And so I really wanted to look at it as, you know, this can lift the load. This is really going to elevate us as teachers. And so that was sort of the charge that I took up. So I think it's going to help teachers on that end. But I do think we have some challenges that we're going to be facing in education in terms of what students are doing and how they're using it and how we can teach academic integrity in our students.
Yeah, and I know in the conversations I've had with educators, you know, this year especially, it's really, you know, holding a lot of truths or holding a lot of feelings right side by side that are all super valid and don't necessarily negate the other, right? Like there's the instructional side, the planning side, the working smarter, not harder, but then also those genuine concerns about what it looks like to teach digital citizenship or how to navigate spaces. You know, so ChatGPT is just a part of this conversation. You know, beyond ChatGPT, what tips can you offer educators to make the most of using AI tools in their classrooms?
Well, I think in the classroom, if you're working with students, I think AI tools, you know, this generative AI concept, not only is going to generate information, you know, for student use for us as teachers, but I think it's going to generate conversation amongst students. I think it's going to force us as educators to sort of change what we're doing in the classroom and make education more reflective with in terms of students. You know, they're not going to be skill and drill, and we're not going to just be answering worksheets and questions. I think it's going to be more of a Socratic environment where the students are talking more and using the tools to be more evaluative of their own work. And I really feel like that's kind of the direction that AI is going to lead us in education.
Yeah, that emphasis on the process, right? As opposed to the completed worksheet or that final essay, right? I think that is going to be such an area that will shift to, you know, when we're, you know, looking at the impact, right, of these tools from, you know, a student focus. You know, are there any specific AI tools beyond ChatGPT that you've tried with or without students or that have piqued your curiosity this year?
Well, the one I've been finding the AI art generators quite amusing. I'd say amusing because they really do return very amusing results. The new one that's in Google, which is interestingly blocked in my district. It's not in our Google because we're a GAF school, but the one where it just kind of wants to imagine for you, what is the image that you want to put it in the slide deck or on this document? And you can kind of describe it and it creates something. An image for you. So I had an experience with that the other day. I just wanted a picture of people shaking hands. And maybe I was being lazy because I'm sure there were plenty of images of people shaking hands. So I asked Google, the image generator, to generate that. And I got the scariest, most distorted picture of people shaking hands. There must have been like 16 fingers between the two hands that had connected. So, you know, I think the AI art generators are out there. And I just think they're very interesting to experiment with at this point in time.
Yeah, I've had a similar experience where the output can be a little strange or not quite fit, you know, what I'm looking for. I found that, and I was just at an event earlier this week working with educators where we were, you know, using some different tools. We used Adobe Firefly, and I like that one because some of the outputs are designed to be a little cartoony or graphic, you know, and I'll put in like a puppy or a polar bear instead of a person sometimes just to help it, you know, be a little more seamless or not look as funky as you were saying. And it's just, it's an interesting space to watch. And just like you said about wanting to find a quick picture, right? Moving throughout your day, I do think there's a lot of potential there. So that's a great example.
Definitely. Now, the ChatGPT plugin, the Argyle AI, or Argyle, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it. That's a really neat one because it does take your story that you're imagining and then it talks to Storybird, the website. Mm-hmm. And so the students, you know, you can write a story and then it will generate it with the art included, and you get a flipbook in Storybird. But what I think you could turn that into a lesson with the students as well, you know, in terms of author's purpose and in author's tone, and is the art suitable to the you know, the story. So I think that lends itself to a really good lesson in the classroom.
I love that idea of sparking a conversation alongside this, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're having so many different conversations with colleagues, with families, and with students, you know, who are asking, is this okay? Or what can I do in this space? It's nice to think how, you know, we could have this adjacent conversation around AI generated content, right? Or what do you see here? Or how would we change this prompt to get a better picture? So that's a great plug-in. I appreciate you adding that to our list that we're generating today, you know, over this conversation.
So it's all into art critics.
Yeah, right. So if you're, you know, if someone listening, you know, is a little skeptical, apprehensive, or is working alongside a colleague that is feeling that way, you know, what advice would you give educators who are skeptical about incorporating AI into their instructional practice, into their teaching methods?
I think, you know, the advice may be a little harsh, but honestly, we really can't at this point bury our heads in the sand. You know, this step change has taken place and it has occurred, and it is going to be very important for us to embrace it and educate ourselves about it. We can't hide from it. We can't make it go away. So I think the advice is, you know, be a little bit fearless, because if you are an early adopter and you are someone who's embracing it, you're going to be more able to alter what you're doing in terms of your instruction and more able to educate the students who are going to need support when it comes to AI.
Yeah. And, you know, that foundation of understanding, or even if you're not using ChatGPT to write email responses, right? Which I know I've been playing around a great deal with this year, just that foundation of what it is, right? What's possible, I think is so important for educators to have that baseline, right? To build off of, because you're exactly right. This isn't something that is going away, right? It might change and evolve, right? In our conversations around it, but it is having a pretty massive impact in the conversations around teaching and learning. So, you know, for someone who's on the go today, is looking to explore plugins for the first time, maybe going to that search inside of ChatGPT to look for that perfect plugin, is there one, is there just one plugin or even one ChatGPT strategy, you know, that educators should try tomorrow? If there is just one, you know, what would you suggest?
Tom, that's such a hard question because it has so many things that it does that are so incredible. You know, when people are first experimenting with ChatGPT, for me, it's always been the hook is seeing it generate some sort of table, like a rubric. You know, it seems like when the first time people see that it can generate an analytical rubric like this, that usually is the initial hook. And you don't need a plugin for that. It can do that all by itself. So when they're playing around with it, I always say, try the rubric because you really won't believe how wonderful it is. I think I'm going to go back to Wolfram Alpha, though, when it comes to, you know, just elevating the content that you're returning. As we said before, it's notorious for, not notorious, but that, you know, there are times where it is generating some things that make you go, And so, you know, saying how powerful the Wolfram Alpha plugin can be, I think, is another way that'll hook people on the plugins.
And that is a perfect one to just get someone started, right? To have, you know, a successful experience working within this space. And I'm confident it would make them curious to see what other plugins are on the list or which ones are new or featured, you know, over the next few months then and into the second half of the school year. So Mary, this was so actionable. Lots of great things for listeners to try. Where can they connect with you? Where can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
Well, I did write a book on ChatGPT, so definitely have to mention that. And I know you'll probably put the information in the show notes. And so it's a starter guide. It's for people who aren't as familiar with ChatGPT. So people can reach out to me. I'm on Twitter, or X, as we now call it, I suppose. This is Howard118. I'm on Instagram as well. And lately, I've been sharing a lot of ideas and techniques on TikTok. So it's MaryHoward118 on TikTok if people want to look over there. And I have a blog, yoursmarticles.com. So I think those would be the best spots.
Perfect. And we will link that out so everyone can find you, learn about your book, learn about your new TikTok. I'm going to go check that out after we finish up today. Thank you so much, Mary, for your time and your insights and sharing all of this with listeners.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I've followed you for a long time now. You're wonderful, and I like the work so very much that you do.
Oh, thank you.
It was so much fun chatting with Mary about this topic of artificial intelligence and really how to take the work we're doing with ChatGPT in a new direction. So let's make this EdTech easy with a few key points from today's episode. ChatGPT is more than just a chatbot. AI tools are transforming how we think about instructional practices. ChatGPT plugins can take our work with AI to a new level. Remember, you can find the show notes and full list of resources from this episode, including all of the ways to connect with Mary Howard, on classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode. This week's episode is sponsored by my Quick Reference Guides. These Quick Reference Guides, or QRGs, give you an overview of big topics and plenty of resource suggestions on a variety of topics. Search for Monica Burns, that's me, on Amazon to find my Quick Reference Guides on AI chatbots, one on classroom technology tips, and another co-written with Pam Allen on digital reading strategies. Or head to classtechtips.com/books for more information. Thank you for tuning in to another Tuesday episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. Stay tuned this fall for a few bonus episodes. Instead of Sundays like we've done this past year, they're going to shift to Fridays. Not every Friday, but every once in a while. So make sure you're listening on a podcast app where you can hit the follow button. That way, every new episode, not just Tuesdays, but the bonus ones too, will pop up for you as soon as they go live. And if you want to share an idea from today's episode, maybe with a friend or a colleague, you can send the link to them as a text or even tweet or post it on your favorite social media platform. You can find me there too. Just tag me at Class Tech Tips with any takeaways or questions.